Welcome back to another Snacks and Chats with myself, Lani, and old mate Ben over there.
Yeah, g'day.
G'day. And we are joined by the lovely Jenna Fabian. Kickboxer, mixed martial artist. Is there anything else I'm missing out there?
I like to sing. Can't sing, but,
enjoy a bit.
I enjoy it. Yeah. Doesn't mean I won't. So, yeah, add that. No. Yeah, professional mixed martial artist, Muay Thai, kickboxer. Yeah.
We ask everyone this, but when people ask you where you're from, what do you tell them?
New Zealand. Yeah, cool. New Zealand. And then they go, but what are you? And I say, I'm Samoan Māori.
And where did you grow up around here?
Well, initially, my family's from West Auckland, Te Aratū. That was where our family house was, and I was raised by my grandmother and my mother, and went to school out there in my early years, primary school, and then we moved out to Central Auckland, to Balmoral, and so I was based out there. Then I went to Auckland Girls High School, so yeah, Auckland Girls Grammar, just off Key Road there. It was cool.
You're a professional fighter now, but you have been a competitive athlete for almost your entire life, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that and what you did.
From age 6 years to, I think I was 18, 19 when I actually stopped, but I ran track all my life. So my events were 100, 200 and triple jump. From 6 years old to my late teens, I trained and came up through the age groups and the ranks, the local and then national, then got to an international level as a junior coming through in those events. Got an amazing chance to develop as a person and train with some amazing people who are also in their own right today, very successful, and some amazing coaches. So that was my base growing up, and it kept me in line for the most part, you know, in hindsight, coming through those years as you start to develop as a teenager, yeah.
Right, so looking back on it, was it tough at the time, but you look back and you're like, well, thank goodness I had that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I had like a childhood like a lot of my friends at school and friends I grew up with and even family I grew up with, cousins and things like that. But in hindsight, it embedded a lot of really good traits and qualities. Always in hindsight, you become grateful for those things at the time, even though, you know, you wanted to go to those sleepovers with your friends that you couldn't, or birthdays or occasions like that, or be able to go play, but you're not at home. You're not home till 9 o'clock at night, you know, because you go from school straight to training and things like that. So that was my lifestyle and was normal for me growing up. And so those disciplines, having that growing up, definitely translated into other areas as I, you know, in life, such as when I became a fighter, you know, those things translated. And so that level of discipline and intensity and knowing to a point what it requires was not an easy transition, but I was prepared, I think, a lot more than people that just start.
Than your average from person.
Scratch. Yeah. So I think it all kind of tied in.
Was that something that you always wanted to do, like becoming an athlete?
I think my mum just put me into something to keep active, and like my, and she was a young mum at the time. And, you know, you put your children into things and see what they kind of gravitate towards, and, you know, what they enjoy, and just to learn different skills and be around different kids and things like that, or whatever the reasons are. And I loved running at the time. I was really quick. I was like this. Yeah. I was always tall. Like, I've always been a tall, tall girl. I was this tall, lanky kid that could just run really fast and just loved it. And it stuck through it all throughout the years, from, you know, 6 years to, I think my last race was, I was 18, 19.
True.
Yeah, so it was a big, big part of my upbringing and my life, for sure.
And that didn't end through your choice. That ended because of an injury?
Yeah, that was the start of it. I suffered a grade 2 hamstring tear on my left leg during a competition. I think it was like an Auckland Championships, and I was running in the open women's division. I was 16 at the time, but I was always running up into the senior women's division and for extra competition. And we had a lot of great seniors at the time, all kind of gunning for the Commonwealth and things like that. So I tore my hamstring in a 100-metre race, and it was my first real major injury that put me out for the following season. More than anything, I rehabbed and I came back the next season, but I just wasn't quite the same, and it just, I think, if anything, mentally and emotionally rocked me, and I didn't know how to cope with that or how to deal with it. I was such a an achiever, and girls that I was beating quite easily throughout the ranks and throughout the years either were beating me or were at level, and I just didn't know how to deal with that emotionally.
That would have been hard, mentally.
Yeah, and you're young and you don't know, this is all you know, and this is kind of the path that you're forming into, and I didn't know anything else. It was school and track at the time.
It's all
so
just gone.
Where you think you're going, and you know, it's going toward, I'd already represented New Zealand as a junior at that time, but I was going to the senior ranks and, you know, heading towards Commonwealth and Olympics and things like that.
The path was like, you could see it.
Yeah. That's what I thought. That really rocked me, and I didn't have the tools emotionally and mentally to be able to deal with that. And I feel like these days now, a lot of that stuff is a lot more accessible and talked about and shared. So yeah, I think that's a great thing, because at the time I just didn't know what I didn't know. And so I was just like, you know, I gave up. Yeah. Eventually. And that was tough. It was a lot of learning. But again, in hindsight, it teaches you a lot of things and grow from it.
And so how long did it take you from that moment where you decided to give up to when you found your new path or your new passion? How long was that before you found that?
After that, I started working for a media company and marketing and advertising. I was really fortunate enough, fresh out of high school, I was green to work for Fairfax at the time. I didn't know anything about the corporate world, you know. My mum, at the time, she ran a publishing company, so that was kind of her domain. I just always see her, you know, as a kid, just stressed and working so hard and things like that. I was just like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do that. I want to, you know, be an athlete and all my life.
Be glamorous, because those are the glamorous, those track events you're into. Yeah. Those are the glamour events.
Yeah, you're out of your mates and you're training every day and things like that. And so as a kid, it's fun. But then, so I started getting into that, and I was really green and on that level, just had no real clue. But again, it was such a great teacher and a great learner for everything. Taught me how to handle myself and deal with that world.
I guess like the, not the real world, but the regular people world or whatever.
Yeah, and full-blown adults. And I was just like this green, really good athlete, like from high school, you know, and not sure. And all of a sudden I was working for one of the biggest media companies in New Zealand at the time, learning magazines and online and things like that. I'm like, I don't even read the paper.
This is my world.
But man, I toughed it out, and that was really cool. And anyway, then a couple of years later, or a year and a bit later, I moved over to Sydney, Australia. I did well enough to be able to get a transfer over there to one of their Sydney offices. And then I signed up to a local gym there. A local rowing coach was in there. I'd see him every day. Hey, chit-chat. And so he's like, hey, I see you training. You look like a really strong, fit girl. What, have you ever rowed before? And I was like, no. And he was like, why don't you come down? Are you interested in coming down? I was like, sure. And I was like, what does it entail? He's like, oh, I'll put you through a few tests. And anyway, long story short, we went down to his club, you know, a couple of days later, whatever it was, and all these girls were in there, and they were like, these strong, they were all looking at me like, who's this? Like, you know, and then they put me through some tests and jumped on the row machine and got a few numbers on the weights and things like that, just so they could see me. And I didn't know what they were expecting or if I was doing well and whatnot. And then, they asked me to row, and I'd never been out on the water, not in a boat like that. Yeah. And they're like, do you know how to swim? And I said yes, but I didn't. You know, just, yeah. I was just like, yeah, sure, cool. And oh, it was the funniest thing. And so because, yeah, we flipped a few times. It's just part of the training and what happens. Right. And then they found out then that I was holding on to the boat, like, fuck. But I could, and then, you know, and then through a lot of hard work and some great coaches and teammates, I learned how to row my butt off. I got into surf boat rowing in Australia, which is a big part of the culture there. And then I eventually got into still water rowing in the wintertime. So that all kind of happened and took off. And that's a really hard sport to, like, endurance-wise, power-wise, and just the way that they train. It's a beautiful sport, and technically, and you're out on the water, and things have your technique and things like that, and all that's required has to be really perfect. Yeah. It's an international sport. It's an Olympic sport, but not many people can really make something out of it, but it's quite a big culture, so you've got to really be really, really, really good. And so, but I just enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the challenge, and I was getting better and like throughout the seasons, and we toured all over Australia with the competitions and things like that. And it was just such a cool culture and cool lifestyle. Again, something that I never grew up doing. I wasn't any sort of swimmer or water baby or surfer or nothing like that. And then I was just thrust amongst all these, you know, people in that kind of world. And so, yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. And I got quite serious about it as the seasons progressed and branched off into still water rowing. But we would have time trials a lot, like 2K tests, 5K tests on the rowing machine. I started to get a bulging disc in my back. And so, and I didn't know what, I just was like, I'm in a bit of pain. Mm. And then, you know, got it checked out, and that's what was kind of happening. So I had to take some time off. I was forced to, otherwise they said, you know, you're going to slip your disc, you got to stop. So I couldn't lift and things like that, and all the training that was involved. And it was just like, you know, I was gutted. It was everything.
Yeah, like once again.
Yeah, once again. And it wasn't serious, but it was going to be. And it was giving me enough pain to a point where I'd have to, like, I'd be on the ground for a period of time after trainings, and I'm like, what's wrong? Yeah. Like, you know, I didn't get it. So that was forced, and just focused on working. I started to coach fitness and CrossFit, and that's when that whole thing was kind of taking off, like, on our side of the world compared to what it is today.
Yeah.
So that was really cool, and I was doing that. And then, long story short, after that, got into fighting.
Found another thing to do.
Actually, it was upon a girls trip. A girlfriend of mine, and I planned this trip. First time I'd been overseas to Asia, anyway, without my boyfriend at the time. So it was like this
lads,
kind of trip.
Yeah,
and then we that's how I found initially Muay Thai. Fighting, and that's the national sport of Thailand, obviously. And yeah, it was just like, cool, yeah, this felt like a bit of fitness. Yeah.
Just like a holiday fun thing to do.
Yeah, and really loved it, really enjoyed it. I did not know what I was doing at the time. I thought I was probably killing it, but I probably looking back on those videos, I'm like, oh, I hope those never surface. Terrible. You know, just loved the learning, and I think that was just part of my character, and just loved challenges and loved being physical and loved the, you know, mental and side of it as well, and the challenges that it brought and the different learning and different ways. So it was just another thing, you know, that attracted me to it, I think.
And how do you transition from something that you're just enjoying doing? How do you go from that to, okay, now I'm a professional fighter? Now this is what I'm going to do.
What I think it initially was I formed a really great bond and relationship with those around me and those teachers that were and my coaches at the time. And I think that's how people really do get inspired, is by great teachers. And that's initially how it sparked, and just, we were having fun. I was learning. So it was just like, man, this is the coolest thing out. You know, you're so, those endorphins are running high.
It's fulfilling all the things.
Yeah. And I think that's just how it started. And I stuck with my same trainer that I met in Thailand for a year, you know, after that. And
did you move to Thailand?
Yeah. So initially on that holiday, it was like a 4 or 5 week holiday that my friend and I went over to. And then during that time, yeah, we were training, we were doing the fitness thing, you know, getting in shape, you know, so getting a groove back. the particular place we were training in the camp that we were at, a lot of foreigners were there, and expats that had moved over to Phuket. And I had made friends with the owners of the camp at the time. And, you know, just they meet everyone coming through and got chatting. And what do you do? And I was like, oh, we're marketing and things like that. But, oh, well, we're looking for someone to on that side of our team. Yeah. So we got talking and we got chatting. And then I was living in Sydney at the time, returned back to Sydney after that trip. Looking good, feeling good, you know, jacked and tanned. And everyone's like, where have you been? Oh, my God, you're
amazing. Look at your muscles.
Yeah. Oh, wow, and she's, like, boxing and stuff now. Killing it, whatever. And then made those connections, like I said, and then it became, they put an offer to me to be there, you know, be able to, you know, help with my living expenses and things like that, do a bit of work on the side and be able to train and do what, like this new thing that I was like immersed in and loved. And I met, you know, met so many cool people over there, just different cultures, different people from all sides of the world. And nothing really tying me down, but I had a really good gig in Sydney. You know, on paper, I think I was 21, 22. I was living in the eastern suburbs, which is a very affluent area, and had a good little setup there. But I wasn't happy. Like, I just was working to work, and it's that, you know, work hard, play hard lifestyle, which was cool at the time, but it was just like, you shouldn't have time for yourself. And seeing myself becoming like my mum, like, in terms of she was just a workaholic, and she was just... You know, she was always so busy and so frantic and so stressed, and it was just in that regard, like, and I just remember, man, like, this is, I'm surely life's not this stressful. But obviously also on the other hand, I didn't have all the responsibilities or realise all the responsibilities that parents have.
Absolutely.
Holding down the rest of your family, a house, you know, cars, your children, their expenses, their things. So it was just like, it was me not realising all of that. But then I was like, okay, what should I do? This offer's been put to me and it's so appealing, and it's just like, oh man, it was the happiest thing ever. Like, to me at the time, the coolest thing ever. Yeah. And I was just like, but then I'm going to let go of some good money and some a good stable base. And I chose to go over to Thailand, and that's how it happened. And then developed my passion and love for the sport more, and because I was able to train whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
Be around all these other all these professional fighters and things. At this point I hadn't fought, or it wasn't kind of on
your radar.
I was kind of really just enjoying the training and learning, and like I said, the people I was around and whatnot. And then a year later, after a bit of training and again developing some skills and whatnot, I got asked to fight by my trainer on 3 days' notice. I was like, what? You think I can? And the Thais are like, yeah, sure. You know, and they're saying
everybody
it to anyone.
Can.
Yeah. And, but I thought he was like thinking I was something special, and like I had it. And he just convinced me to say yes. And because at that time there was a foreign girl over there that needed
were
the same
fight.
Way. Yeah. That's how my first fight happened, like 3 days' notice. And oh my goodness, I'll never forget it. I remember I won the fight, and I remember coming out, and I said to my friends are all in the corner and whatnot, and I came out and I said, I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. I'd done it. I ticked it off cool, and I just...
Just because it was terrifying?
It was terrifying, yeah. The anxiety of before the fight, the nerves, the uncertainty, the unknown, just, oh my goodness, it was a totally different feeling to what I've experienced before. So, I just was like, cool, done it, done. Yeah, so that was it. And then took another fight.
Just kept doing it.
Foreigners
needed fights or?
There was a couple, there was maybe two more I had in Thailand after that. And then I returned back to Australia. Like, I was kind of always back and forth at that time. And then there were a couple in Australia, and I had joined up to a local gym where I was at in Sydney at the time, and they had different cards and whatnot, and I jumped in a couple of fights there. But it was never like I loved it, and I was immersing myself in it. I was really enamored with Muay Thai and with fighters and just different fighters that I was following and things like that, but I wasn't sure what I would do with it. Like, I wasn't sure how far I could go. But then each fight, I kind of, you know, you develop this confidence.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to this, each time you get this little bit of, you go another level up in terms of just being more comfortable in there, win or lose. So that's, I think it just then after that, like I caught the bug.
And how did you transition then from Muay Thai to MMA?
I was at a gym in Thailand, and at the time they were building an MMA team, and they had a Muay Thai team. So I initially got sponsorship or scholarship, if you will, whatever, to be on that Muay Thai team. And this was a few years later. They were developing their MMA team, and they kept approaching me. Would you be interested in MMA? Would you be interested in MMA? You know, or just developing, you know, into that style. And at the time, I was like, no, not at all. I didn't understand it or appreciate it enough. I was enamored with Muay Thai and being this purist and whatnot, and going to the local stadiums over there. And what had happened was, I had a few Muay Thai fights lined up at the time that year, and I think it was something like I had 3 pullouts back to back. I was you know, dieting, cutting weight, getting ready for them, and like right at like the last minute, and then the third one, and it was just so disheartening, and you know, I was missing out on money, and I was at that time like just hanging, had nothing to my name, and relying on all those things, putting myself through, you know, all the training, all the running and everything that's involved, and dieting, cutting weight, looking all shredded and sunken in, and then, you know, to be told that sort of news, that, you know, it just pisses you off. Then a friend of mine who would, another fighter who was coming over to Thailand, offered me an MMA fight. I think it was like, at the time, it was like 6 weeks notice through a promotion, a friend's promotion he had. I was so desperate to fight at that point because I had, you know, so many pullouts at that stage that I just said yes, not really fully knowing what I was
getting
myself into. I feel like that's been the theme of like my whole
just say yes
life. Yeah, just say yes. Like
figure it out later.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, like it's, and somehow at some point it's worked out, but I've had to learn like a lot of the hard way. And so I said yes because at the time, A, I needed the money, like I said. I was out in Thailand, frustrated with, you know, all these Muay Thai fights being proposed and promised, and then, you know, pulling out. And, you know, at that stage, I was still very young in the game, where I was just learning about that, so this is part of what happens. And so I said yes, but okay, you got to start coming to MMA practice, you know, blah, 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 cool, yeah, all right, rocker. And oh my goodness, it was just the most, you know, getting taken down, getting held down on the ground in a totally different realm, and the smaller gloves and this and that, like all these factors in MMA that differentiate the two between MMA and Muay Thai, was just a real awakening. Like if anything, like then, you know, a few weeks in, I remember I was like, what the hell have I done? Like, what have I signed up to? You know, like I'm not ready for this. Yeah. And so at the time, anyway, my coaches did what they could, and it was actually really good. They kept me really grounded, and even when I get anxiety in the training, or I'd come off crying, you know, in the corner, and I'm, are you all right? Yeah. Cool. We did the 6-week crash course of like defensive wrestling and like getting up off the ground and scrambles and things like that, and it was cool. And so I had my first one. They flew me out. I was living in Thailand, and they flew me out to Australia. Yeah, had my first MMA fight there, and I won, thankfully. And about, man, and then
so they didn't try to take you down, or
no, we did. We ended up on the ground, you know, and I just held her there. I was on top, so I was just like holding on, I think, for dear life until the ref stood us up, and then and then I won, and man, it was such a rush, and that was my opening. I was like, man, and it was a big teacher, like, cause in the 2 rounds that fight lasted, like it did go everywhere, and it just was like, that is a position these scenarios that presented themselves to me firsthand, I need to get better at, like, and I never want to be succumb vulnerable. To like to that stuff. And I remember I got hit with the small gloves, and it's just like being hit with a fist when you're used to bigger gloves. which I was at that time. Yeah. And I remember I was stunned on my feet and I was like, holy heck, like it felt like a rock had like come through, and I, you know, managed to recover. And then I remember landing somewhere and I was like, man, this is a scary feeling. Like
it's gone next level.
Being hit like that and hitting someone else. It's like, you know, and it sounds ugly, but when there's street fights, and if you've heard them, and it, you know, when you hear like that, it's like meat slapping each other. It's like that, and that's what, and I just remember all of that, and I was like, it scared me, and I was like, oh my god, like, but then it was really attractive to me at the same time. Yeah. And so that's what like kind of made me decide, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna pursue MMA, and I'm this is like, I really really like this, and it broadened my horizons definitely at the time, and got me in there, got me enthralled with it all.
So it was the savagery of it almost.
It was, and it's weird because I, you know, in a normal setting, like at home watching a fight, even still today, I'm like, ooh, and then watching my friends is the worst. But then you go out there yourself, and it's just a different feeling, and sometimes I can't believe I do it, but. Then I can't. It's weird. It's this weird. Then it's like, it's the best feeling. It's the best feeling because it's so exciting and enthralling. I'm very drawn to it, and I love it. I really love it. It's so weird, but then it's also very. I get anxiety sometimes as well at the same time.
Like,
am I
meant to love it this much?
Yeah, and just like, because you know, the repercussions of. Of it going not your way, but man, I think running towards it is what's attractive about it. Like, I think I love that feeling.
Yeah.
To be honest, which is like crazy, or maybe I don't know what the psychology is behind that, but like, yeah, because it's the biggest thing, is one of the things that kind of scare you, but it also makes you feel the most alive, is how I could probably describe it.
I guess it's like those like adrenaline junkies, you know, jumping off a building or something.
Yeah.
I guess this is your jumping off a building.
Yeah,
maybe.
Because in some form for sure, because I see people like that, and people are like, would you? No way, no way would I ever jump. Why? Mm. For what? It doesn't appeal to me. You know, would you, do, you know, the bungee this and this? No. No.
But let me just go. Yeah,
yeah,
let me
but
just
then
go, like,
this must be what's my,
that's
yeah.
Your one, yeah.
So it's like, and you know, I always feel like, you know, those programs where like good things go wrong, or like good things go bad, like those roller coasters that fucking stop upside down. Some I feel like if I ever tried to be extreme like that, like I'd be that story. So I'd just be like, I just yeah. But then yeah, getting in the cage and or getting in the ring is like my adrenaline rush, I guess.
You said. Over the years, you haven't worried so much, or you're not worried about your physical toughness. You've been through injuries, you've had your nose broken, you've had all of those things. But over the years, it was really working up that mental toughness that you've had to work a lot on over the years.
Yeah, definitely. Just thinking, and in hindsight again, like and being a few years now. Doing this and traveling around the world and meeting different cultures and sides of the game through that, knowing myself more. It comes down to knowing yourself and finding who that person is, finding out what you're made of, and not even necessarily speaking inside the ring, because I've done some things in the ring that I know I'm capable of. But it's like the things that make you a fighter outside.
Mm.
Are you gonna stick this out when you've got no money? Are you gonna sit there for 12 hours and cut weight just to make it, and you're, you know, emancipated carcass of yourself? Are you gonna come back when you've just lost in front of all your family and friends and had your, you know, this thing that you're supposed to be good at and that you put all your time and effort into, and then you lose in front of them? And then are you gonna come back to the gym after that? Are you gonna come back and take another fight after that? All these things that test your character, test your ego, test your will, you know, and you as a person. And so it's finding those things out. And I think it comes when it comes, like you'll different things will test you. You'll figure those sides of yourself out, just like in life as you go along. But that's what makes you a fighter, and what you can take into there and know that you can handle, you know, yourself or certain scenarios, or know what you're made of. Tested to the nth degree, or had tough fights, or had to come back, you know, from tough situations in there, when you're down, or when you've had broken your nose and you can't breathe throughout your nose. And so do you keep going, or do you opt out? You know, you can make some choices in those moments, and it's those moments that really teach you about yourself and what you're capable of, and what you can withstand, and whether you're a quitter or whether you're a champ and you keep going regardless. You know, those things will show you who you are. And that's what I feel like, back to your question of building that mental toughness and confidence and things like that, that's all tied into just knowing yourself and running towards fear and breaking through those barriers. You've got a choice. I've made those choices in the past, not in fighting so much, but in track. I chose to give up when I could have probably pushed on, but I just didn't know how to handle myself at the time, or whatever the case was. But it was those moments burnt me, and I felt for a long, long, long time, I never want to feel like that again. Never want to feel like that again. Even if I fall on my face, I'm going to go out on my shield. That's tough to make that decision, especially in those moments where it's like presented to you. But because I think of those times where I have been tested and opted out, I've promised myself that I would never do that again, no matter what, you know, because I know how hard that is of a pill to swallow and to live with when you know. It's like, you know. You know, other people might not know, but you do know. I think those things have, helped develop me to the fighter that I'm becoming today, or now, yeah.
I never really thought about it until you mentioned the family and friends and them being like, aren't you meant to be good at this?
Yeah, don't
like,
you? Isn't this where you are every day?
Losing and having to be like, nah, honestly, I'm good. Yeah. Like, honest.
See me, like, yeah. Or just like you don't get the result that you're supposed to. Or that, you know, and it's just like, those things are hard. Those things will test you. On the flip side of it, your family, your friends helping you towards these goals, these real selfish goals, and this dream that you believe, and they're making sacrifices for you as well. And then certain things don't go your way, or you like, fuck, that's hard. So what are you gonna do? Pack it all in, or all right, not go back. And you know, I've definitely been tested a few times in that way, and it's just like those things come, but I feel like it's because you're doing it right. You're all in, you know, you're all in. You've got to be in this sport. Got to be all in. Like, it's not that kind of sport or lifestyle to where you can half-ass. Yeah, and in all areas, not just training and the physicality, like, yeah, you've got to go without sometimes.
So what are your goals this year? What are you working towards, your next fight, or what's coming up for you?
So I've just re-signed with the PFL again for my second season. So that kicks off in May, and that season runs from May till New Year's Eve. So every 2 months we'll be fighting. And really, really great organisation. I had a really... in terms of the dealings and the promotion itself, I had a really great experience with them last year in 2019, my first year with them, and what they're doing and how they're trying to differentiate their structure and their format compared to the other promotions.
Because it's a playoff type
style.
So, yeah.
And so how they're basing it off is similar to the NFL format, because that's the biggest sport in America, American football. And so the investors and the owners, and Ray Sefo, who's someone Kiwi based over there, and who's a promoter, have structured it like, yeah, that NFL format where you have a regular season and you fight your way and win your way to the playoffs, which, like I said, happened from May all the way through to the finals, New Year's Eve. So I think that's really cool. And then at the end of that, it's a $1 million prize. And it's really cool. It's really legit. And it's really like everyone's got it paid. And you get paid pretty well, pretty decent all throughout the year. And they've signed to ESPN along with the USC. So they've got that backing. Yeah, they're only in their third season in now. So it's really exciting. And it's I think it's great for the sport that we have these other promotions that can rival the top dog, UFC, and give these fighters other avenues. So, yeah, I think they're doing a great job, and their staff and their production and everything like that are really awesome to work with. So I've got nothing but great things to say on that side about them, and so I'm really excited to kick off. They really enjoyed me, and like me, I had gone into a bit of a war in my first fight, which people were like, man, that was such a cool fight, and I wasn't really too happy with it because I got hit more than I would have liked, and meaning, like, I know I'm going to get hit. You go in there with that expectation and you can't ever think you're not. But I just, I didn't, certain technicalities I didn't quite follow to in my favor. So I made it more of a war than it needed to be. And I come off with a bit of a broken nose. And it's part of it. But it could have been
just
avoided.
Just a bit of a broken nose.
A real broken nose that really hurt and really was annoying for the next month after.
Because then you're trying to turn it around in 2 months for your next fight.
I couldn't do full contact or sparring for the first 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and I was wearing this face mask every day, and then on social media pretending everything's honky dory, like, no, I'm not injured, I'm all good, and I couldn't spar and things like that. Obviously I was training other avenues and parts of my game, but we had to tailor it because I couldn't take any contact, and sparring's such a big part of our training and our camps, and it's just like, oh man. Like, all these things were going through my head. What if I forget how to
throw a punch?
Yeah, throw a punch. All this ridiculous stuff. And then, and then you just got to the point where I was like, oh, well, it's going to be what it's going to be. And you know what to do. Like, the work's done and good. You're good. And then just had to, turn that switch. Okay, you're going to be good.
Yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then had that second fight. And that went well in my favor. Then I made it to the semifinals, which I was supposed to fight Kayla Harrison, a judo girl, and she's kind of she's the face of the promotion, and in our division, and just suffered really badly with some weight cut issues, unfortunately, like a few hours before. So worked my butt off all year. And
it was going to be the first time you'd fight in Vegas too, right?
Yeah, it was my first time fighting in Vegas and all that. And so, and that's where they do the semifinal playoffs. And so that was just everything I was working towards. And so I was gutted. But I let myself feel it straight away. And I just took some time out and just didn't answer to anyone, which I would always feel the need to at different times. But I was just like, nah, just be with yourself and just get yourself whatever you need to do for me. Like, I put myself first in that situation after. Yeah, which is hard for me to do sometimes. I think that helped me just kind of move on a bit quicker.
Just sitting with it.
Yeah, just sitting with it and dealing with it at the time. What I'd usually do is come back into the gym, come back into training, get back up, or just get back around and things like that. But I just took some time by myself because I needed to because it was like my whole existence that whole year, and I was going through, you just have your moments in camp and things like that, and everything was based for me was based around that, and anything that came up in life or outside life, I just put to the back of my head. And so then that happened where I didn't make it to the dance, and so I was just like, fuck, whoops, sorry.
No, you can swear, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, so that was it. It was just like, I was gutted, and then, like I said, I let myself kind of just take it in and deal with it how I wanted to, or how I felt I needed to at that time. And it might have taken a few weeks or whatever, but I was okay with that. I was like, oh, this is what I need, and I'll get back in there. It wasn't like I was feeling any type of way, like, oh, I'm going to say, oh, I need some extended time off. No, I just need a bit of time to myself. And then I knew I'd make my way back in and just get back on the horse.
With the PFL League, is it light heavyweight that you're fighting? Or?
Yeah, well, it's a new division in terms of on the mainstream level. So, yeah, PFL, the first promotion to open up this division. So lightweight, women's lightweight, which is 70 kgs.
Shit. I'm just thinking of how much I weigh. I'm like, fuck. Fuck, I'm heavyweight.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm heavyweight too right now. So that's right. Yeah, so they've taken a chance in broadening. Not only, you know, people are like, women's MMA, you know, and then people joke about it or whatever, but, man, it's this year, this season, it went from 8 girls to 12 girls, and there are some legitimate lightweights out there that are really skilled. You've got Kayla Harrison, you know, and she, like I said, mentioned before, she's the face of the promotion, and she's she's a two-time Olympic gold medalist in judo.
Wow.
So she brings that, you know, and she's obviously, she trains at a top gym over in America, and she's been, you know, broadening her game and putting it all together. You've got me, who's a world champion Muay Thai fighter, stand up, you know, and again, putting together all the other aspects of my game over these years and putting it all together. We're legitimate lightweights. We've got many other girls, Bobby Joe, the girl that I fought, Larissa Pacheco, and then you've got some girls that are lighter weights that fight at the 145 or 66 kg division that don't want to cut weight and that sit a bit heavier, and they don't have to cut as much weight to get to lightweight. And girls in Eastern Europe and Russia that are some skilled kickboxers and things coming into the division this year, so that's grown from 8 to 12 this year. It's a matter of going out there and putting on to give it, get the eyes like on this division and to really solidify it first and foremost, and then to grow it. And I think with the, like I mentioned, with what the PFL have done with this format and this $1 million thing, it's gotten a lot of...
There'll be people coming
There's been a lot of attraction to it, and so there's a lot more girls coming through. There were supposed to be more girls actually in the first season, but there was some visa issues, so they had to... They just condensed it. It wasn't supposed to actually be only 8. This year, I think it's gone from it's a 12 girl tournament. Looking forward to it. Awesome. $1 million, millionaire by the end of 2020
that's the goal.
That's a nice goal.
That milli.
Man, I'm home and I'm in the right place to do it, and fortunate enough to come back home over Christmas and be back with, you know, my team here and Huge and Doug and the boys and my family and friends here, and just settling back here has been just what I needed. Still settling in, like still kind of just getting my feet on the ground here because I've been away a long time. It's what I need. It's what I needed, yeah. It's the next step.
Did you feel that immediately when you went back to CKB, when you went back to see all your friends and family, were you like, This is it.
Well, so the CKB in particular, they've changed locations since I've been away. And so it was a whole new location. And obviously with the success and the height of the boys, the gym's just growing, like doubled, tripled.
It's different.
You even got idiots like me going.
And it's awesome. It's amazing. Yeah. But it was just not what I left. And I remember... Yeah, I arrived back in New Zealand the next day. Huge and I went into the gym. You know, he obviously brought me back into the gym. and I didn't see any of our core team. It was that Christmas period too, and everyone was on different schedules and things like that. And some people were away. It was just that particular day. And we went through the afternoon classes, which is the peak time. And like, it was just like no one I knew. And I was just like, I was so excited to go back. And then I was like, where's all my friends? And then the next day, but then started seeing, catching up with everyone, and everyone was there. So, it's cool. And just, the gym is just growing, and it's amazing. And you just get all sorts of people coming through, just, for betterment and for learning and for, fitness and things like that. And kids and high school kids and mums and just all ranges. And it's amazing, and I'm really happy that people are really getting into this on this side, and it's taken off like it has.